Well, good morning. Y'all are like, I thought we had somebody else speaking. Yes, but I'm going to introduce him. I met Sam when I went to Bible college in Lakeland. And what was that, over 25 years ago now? My goodness, I got old. And thanks, June. I appreciate that. And Sam, when I first met him, he used to carry this pin on his shirt, whatever shirt he wore. And it had a heart on it, and it says, I care. So every time somebody would say, I don't care, he'd say, uh-uh, I care. And that's his personality. He does care. He cares a lot about missions and about people and about the unsaved. So much so that he even used what we called the unicycle ministry on campus to drum up conversation. And he even taught people how to unicycle. So he had a whole group of unicyclists on campus. I thought it was interesting. Figured I'd share that for you. All right, Sam, now that I've embarrassed you, come on up.
Okay, thank you. Well, it's really an honor to be here today. And we've been friends for a long time. And actually, it's been quite a few years since we saw each other. My family and I had gone over to Asia. But it's good to be back, kind of like a reunion. And I'm grateful for the chance to open the Word of God and to share some stories about what God has been doing around the world. So my name is Sam, and I did have the opportunity to be a missionary. I was in Southeast Asia in a couple different countries for a total of 7 years. And during that time, I saw God do some really great things. So the subject of our talk today is about missions. And I want to share with you my heart about missions and from the Word of God, what God says about missions. So I know your church has a missions emphasis already, that y'all participate in the missions arm of the Baptist church. Is that right? Yep. So I know you guys already know all about it, but I want to encourage you today with some words from Scripture. So I'm going to start by reading the Great Commission. Probably some of you already know it by heart, but it is the last command that Jesus gave us before he ascended into heaven. And following his ascension, we know that the Holy Spirit came down, indwelt the believers, and the church was born. But what were his last words to the church before he ascended up into the sky? So these are the words that we're going to read in Matthew chapter 28. So I'll just read to us. If you have a Bible and you want to follow along, you're welcome to. Matthew 28, and I'm going to start at verse 18. It says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Amen. So these were the words that Jesus gave to his disciples. What do you do next? As you watch me rise up into heaven, what's your job now? And he told them to go and make disciples. And we know that you don't have to only go to other countries to do this. This can be done right in our own hometowns, even in our own neighborhoods and wherever we work, wherever we have friendships. And in my experience, I saw the Lord moving both in my hometown of Lakeland and also overseas. So I'm going to try to squeeze two stories in today, and I'm not going to try to run too long, but I promise these are good stories. You're going to like these stories about things that God has done as we walk in obedience to the Great Commission. The first story actually goes all the way back to when we were students at Southeastern. I was a student there. We were roommates before, but at this time I had a different roommate. I don't know if you knew my roommate, Patrick. He had just come from Africa, actually. And he was in America for the first time. And he ended up being my roommate. So when Patrick and I were roommates, I had a job at a print shop. I would leave work every day and go work at a print shop, and then I also worked at a preschool. So I was always driving off campus to go to work. And one day as I was leaving the school to go to work, I passed these three mobile homes, and I had seen them many times on Longfellow Boulevard. I had never really paid much attention. But on this day, as I drove past these three mobile homes, something really special happened. I felt, or I sensed, the Holy Spirit drawing my attention somehow in whatever way He can speak to our hearts. I noticed that He was directing my attention to these three mobile homes. In particular, the first one facing Longfellow Boulevard. And as I drove past it, I had to just turn and stare at it. And I felt something strange, like the Lord was calling me to notice this home. And every day when I drove to work for about 2 or 3 weeks, the same sensation happened. And I began to believe the Lord is speaking to me. And I started to ask Him, what does it mean? Why are you drawing my attention to that particular house? The desire grew and grew inside of me as the Lord was leading me to somehow find a way to go to that house and meet that family. But of course, that's kind of strange, right? As a person, a stranger to them, to just knock on their door. And I was worried that I was going to embarrass myself or make them feel weird. So I was just searching for any excuse to meet this family. And one day, one of my professors gave us an assignment. He said, I want you to find somebody in the neighborhood of this college that you've never met before and interview them. It's got to be somebody from another country. Interview them about their history, their family, their heritage, their culture. And I thought, this is my excuse. This is the reason why I'll knock on that door. So I got up my courage, I jumped in my car, and I drove down Longfellow Boulevard with my heart racing. I parked under this big oak tree right in front of this mobile home, and I knocked on the door for the first time. And a young woman answered the door. Her name is Jasmine, and she barely spoke English, just a little bit of English, mostly Spanish. But I was able to kind of communicate to her. I'm from the college down the road, and I did a little interview. But while I was doing this interview, I found out Jasmine had just arrived in the United States from Puerto Rico, and she really wanted to learn English. She had a boyfriend who lived with her, and they had two small children. And she said, we need to learn English so that we can get good jobs. And so I saw another opportunity. The first opportunity was the teacher's assignment that gave me an excuse to knock on the door. Now I had learned that they had a need that I might be able to help meet. I still hadn't spoken to them about Jesus, but I was trying to build a relationship. And so I said, I speak English. Is it okay if I come back and we can practice English? And she spoke to her boyfriend, Carlos, and they agreed. So I made plans with them to come back the following week. So I did. I came back the following week, and I found out a little more about their family, that their two little boys were just maybe kindergarten. And so that began a relationship. When I was back in my dorm, I started to tell my friends about it. And I remember three young men who lived in my hallway were Spanish speakers. And when they heard the friendship that I had made, they said, I want to be a part of that. So these three young men started coming with me on Tuesdays. One of them came every Tuesday. One of them came every Wednesday. And then one of them came every Thursday. So Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays of every week, we were going to visit this family and practicing English. In fact, really, I found out that my job was mostly to give these guys rides to the mobile home. I imagined when the Holy Spirit started talking to me that I was going to be the hero, the minister who stepped in and did something amazing. But God saw another role for me. My role was to hear His voice and obey, and also to facilitate other people who were better equipped than I was to do that ministry. But it was still the right role for me in that moment. And I still found a lot of joy and excitement while I was doing that. So for 3 months, these three young men and I went to visit Carlos and Jasmine, just only talking about English and Spanish every time. And I was always praying, Lord, is this the only thing you wanted me to do? Because this is helpful, but I had a feeling that it had something more to do with the gospel. And so I asked the Lord, is this it? Are we just practicing language? And one day while I was driving one of these three young men, his name was Angel. Angel and I were driving to this home I sensed the Holy Spirit was directing me that day. You know, sometimes we get a sense that God is telling us, do this. And I could feel like God was saying, today's the day. Today's the day to introduce the gospel. So I was really excited and nervous, and Angel and I arrive at the mobile home. We're having our normal language lesson. And I told Angel, Angel, can you ask Jasmine in Spanish? Ask her, do you believe in heaven? To me, this felt like the right question because it was it wouldn't make her feel defensive. You know, you can answer any way you want to that question without feeling like, is this guy attacking me? Or, you know, I wanted a really easy question to answer that had to do with heaven or with salvation. All I asked was Angel to introduce this question. He said it in Spanish, and then she answered, and then he starts talking, and now she's talking, and this went on for 1 hour. And I'm sitting there watching them talk for 1 hour about heaven, and I have no idea what they're talking about. At one point, I start getting a little bit impatient, so I go over to Angel, and I say, Angel, what is she saying? And he says, shh. And that was the last thing he said to me for the rest of the hour. So finally, after 1 hour, he prays for her, and he says, it's time to go. And I say, okay. So we get in the car, and we leave. And as we're driving back to the college, he says, when I asked her if she believed in heaven, she began to talk to me about her family's history, about religion. Her family has been practicing witchcraft for her whole life. And he said, they're very involved in dark things. And he said, there are many scary things that have been happening to her since she was a child involving the spirit world, and they are now happening to her children. And it's frightening her because whatever her family was doing, it was involved with some kind of a demonic presence. I don't know the details. But he said that he was able to share the gospel with her. And he told her, Jesus is calling you. Jesus is calling you and your boyfriend and your children to come to him to be safe, to receive salvation, and to be able to go to heaven. But not just heaven in the future, but right now to have peace on earth through Jesus' death and resurrection. He shared the whole gospel with her exactly in the right way that was meeting a need that she had. And so the next time I went back to that trailer, the very next week, I came back and the trailer was empty. That was the last day I ever saw Carlos and Jasmine ever again, was the day that Angel shared the gospel. When I reflect on this story, I see the love of God. The same God who commanded us to go and make disciples. He was present in that moment, even while I wasn't even asking him. I was just going to work, going about my normal day. And the love of God was so strong that he caught my attention and he directed it to this family. He knew their need and he loved them enough to send people to share the gospel. And our job was just to be obedient. And again, I already told you this part, but I thought I was going to be the one to tell the gospel. I thought I was going to be the one to do that, but God saw a better way. And in retrospect, I'm so glad that God did it this way. Because I got to see God's activity firsthand, and so did these three young men from my college, and so did Carlos and Jasmine. At the end, everybody saw that God was powerful and loving and active in the earth today. I'm really encouraged when I think about the love of God like this, because no matter what your skill is, God can use you to bring the gospel to somebody who needs it. Our job is just to be ready and available. You don't have to be a fantastic preacher, and you don't have to be a worship leader, singer, although those are wonderful skills. You don't have to be whatever you've seen on TV, what a preacher looks like. You can just be you in your normal life, in your normal relationships. And God's power can work through you to bring the message of salvation to somebody who needs that. And now, if it's okay, I'll share another story, and this one's from overseas. And I also have a timer here, because I get carried away sometimes. I'm just going to pay attention. If I get too carried away, y'all start throwing stuff at me, okay? And I'll wrap it up. Okay? But I do have another story that I'm excited to share with you from another country in Asia. This country is where I lived for 3 years. I met a lot of young people there in this country who had never heard the gospel. In fact, this country is a communist country, and it's not allowed for new people to become Christians in this country. So there are a few Christian families in the country, but if you're not born into a Christian family, you're not allowed to become a Christian. It's against the law. So only the children of Christians are allowed to be Christians. And I met a lot of young people who didn't come from a Christian family, who had never heard the gospel. They didn't know anything about Jesus. In fact, I met people that when we asked them, "Have you ever heard of Jesus?" they said, "Oh, I might have met him. What village does he live in?" To them, they didn't even know that name. They had not heard a single Bible story in their whole life. And one young woman who was like this, she grew up in a Buddhist family, a sweet young lady, probably 21 or 22 at the time that I really got to know her. We were in a ministry that worked with young people, just graduating high school, just about college age, and we were becoming friends with them to share the gospel. And this young woman was part of that group, so we became close friends, and I found out she knew nothing about the gospel, and so we gradually would introduce the gospel, not all at once, but gradually sharing little bits of information. And she made it pretty clear early on that she was not interested. In fact, she was very polite, but she said, "I'm a Buddhist. My family is Buddhist. I will always be Buddhist. I have no interest in your religion." So we would share when it seemed appropriate, but we never pressured her. And we knew her for 8 years on and off. So I was in Laos, or I shouldn't have said the name of the country because I think this is live streamed, right? It's okay though. I'm not living there anymore, so it's okay. I was in this country for 3 years, but I continued to know her for 5 more years after I left. And this story unfolds over these 8 years. So she had received the gospel multiple times from multiple witnesses, but still said, "No, thank you." And so one day I heard from her years later how God revealed himself to her and she became a Christian, even after we had left the country. And I couldn't believe it. And here's the story that she told me. She said that she still had no interest in the gospel. She went to sleep one night a Buddhist, but when she woke up the next morning, she was a Christian. And here's how God did it. She says, while she was sleeping one night, she had a dream. And in her dream, she was walking in this city where I lived. It was her hometown. And she saw in her dream that there was an earthquake in the city. The ground was shaking and the buildings were swaying. She said cracks began to form in the pavement, and they spread like a spider's web across the ground and climbed up the face of buildings until the whole city crumbled into dust. And she said, then to her terror, she saw the cracks didn't stop there. They climbed into the sky. And the whole world, as she could experience it or know it in her dream state, crumbled like a broken mirror and shattered into so many little pieces. She said that the whole world fell away into an abyss. And she said she was left standing in total darkness, in total fear. And she says she screamed out into the darkness, "If all the ways are broken, which way will I go?" She says that a light appeared to her like a bolt of lightning, but in the form of a man. In her dream, she was looking at a being made of pure light, and this being spoke to her, a voice she'd never heard before, and the words that she heard, she had never heard these words in her life. But this being of light spoke to her and said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Follow me." The next morning she woke up and she knew that God had revealed himself to her. But she had so many doubts and so many questions. She had already accepted an invitation to go to a Bible study the next morning. Even though she had no interest in the gospel, she was friends with a lot of Christians, and she would go to different functions like small groups where we were discussing the Bible. She had already made these plans before the dream happened. So she woke up the next morning, she went to the Bible study, And one of the people leading the Bible study opened to the Gospels and read the words of Jesus where he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." That was the second time she'd ever heard those words before. The first time she had heard them directly from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The second time she heard them read out loud from the Bible. And she gave her heart to Christ immediately. She knew from that moment on, this is the truth. He is the way and he is the life. And it radically changed her life. From that day on, God revealed himself to her through scriptures and through the witness of many different Christians. And from that day on, she was receiving encouragement by the Holy Spirit and strength and power to obey the Bible. And she would go and share the gospel in her community, even with her family, who had also never heard the gospel and had no interest in the gospel. Eventually, through years of prayer and continually sharing with her family, first one of her sisters became a believer, then her other sister became a believer, and then her mother and her father, after they saw the change that God had done in the lives of their three daughters, the mother and father also received Christ. And on that day, the father went and got a hammer from his toolkit. Most houses in this region of Asia has a spirit house in their yard. It's like a miniature house, and you put food and drinks, and you burn incense to make an offering to the spirits that are in the area. In fact, that's very normal to see that. It's just part of being a good person. That's just what good people do in that society, is you make offerings to spirits. But when he received Christ, he knew, I can no longer do this. And he took the hammer from his toolkit and he broke the spirit house. And he said, from this day forward, me and my family and our home belongs to the Lord. Now, this family's business is they run a guest house. So they receive guests from many nations, people who are visiting their country, and they host them in their home. It's like a little hotel, but it's their family's house. And so they see hundreds of people come through every year, and they begin witnessing to these people and sharing the gospel. This little family in this country where it's illegal to become a Christian has become a missionary family, and they have led many, many people to the Lord from nations all over this globe that God brought through their house. You see, when God told us to go and make disciples, he was not giving us an impossible job. He was giving us a job that we can do through his power, through the truth of his word, through his leading. We can obey, and God will do this work through us. So I want to wrap up with another scripture. I want to look at Revelation. When we think about all these things, Jesus gave the command right before he ascended to heaven. In the days that followed, he gave the Holy Spirit to all Christians. And through his Holy Spirit, he brought about the early church. And that church story has continued from the book of Acts all the way till this present day. He is still building his church, just like he's doing in our lives in this building and in churches all over America and in the hearts of believers all over the world. He is still building his church. And how does the story end? Well, he told us. In the book of Revelation, John got a vision of the future. And I'm going to read to you a little bit from what he saw. And I'm going to look at Revelation chapter 5, starting at verse 6. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood." out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. At the end of all things, we know that Christ stands and receives worship in front of all creation, all humanity from all tribes, all nations, all over the earth. We get the privilege to stand or kneel maybe in the presence of God and worship him who is worthy to be worshiped. He is the reason why we can go forth with boldness. God's work through Christ is the reason why Carlos and Jasmine don't have to be afraid of evil spirits troubling their family. It's the reason why this young lady in Asia and her whole family are now walking in God, walking in his new life. And we will worship with those people one day at the throne. What a privilege it is to be a part of God's work on this earth. And it's all glory to God. God did these miracles by himself, and he chose to use weak vessels like each of us just because that's the way he chose to do it. Not because we were worthy, but because he alone is worthy. And he shows his strength even in the lives of weak people like me and like everyone else. So I want to thank God for the privilege of serving him here in Florida and overseas in Asia. And I want to encourage you guys, I know you're already participating in missions, and I know you're already sharing the gospel, and you know all this stuff. But I want to encourage you, be open to the leading of God. It may happen on a random Tuesday, we don't know, that God will draw your attention to one family or one person, and he's got a plan that he's working out, and he can use even you to do it. Praise God. If it's okay, I would like to close in prayer. Okay? Lord, we thank you so much for the truth of your word, where you challenged us to go and make disciples. We thank you, God, for the power of your Holy Spirit that is inside of each of us, that you give us the ability to be directed by you and to have the courage to meet new people and to take chances and to share our faith. And we thank you, God, that in all things you will be glorified as you are the miracle maker. You're the one who does the work. And we are just your helpers. We get a front row seat to see you acting in this earth. We thank you for that privilege and the joy of missions. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you, everybody.